and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the step. Oh, boy.
Ooh. Ew.
It's going to be a rough ride today. 6 minutes after the hour. One and a.
Need some Mucinex? Yeah, Heimlich?
Boy. Mary Lou Henner's on the show. She can tell me what to do.
She'll tell you to stop eating cheese. That is what she'll do.
That's the problem. It's what I had after the cheese, I think, is the problem. Okay. Yeah, she has that freaky memory thing. She can remember everything that's ever happened to her ever.
Yep.
That would be the worst thing ever for me. I want to forget everything happened to me up until this point. All right, so big show going on. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Oh, by the way, this is like magic. We're going to be in Madison, the Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and Stephanie and John Fugelsang in next Saturday.
Next Saturday, yes.
My brain is really not operating. I'll tell you why in a little
while. Okay. Oh, boy.
It's really not even working. At least some of the wires flap and hit sometimes.
They're not flapping?
No, they're flapping, but nothing's, like, hitting each other.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just like a Nerf brain. All right.
Okay.
However, we will be in Syracuse, ladies and gentlemen, Syracuse. Tickets are going to go on sale Saturday.
Yes.
We will be in Syracuse on May 14th.
Yep.
So very, very exciting. It's spreading like a rash, the Sexy Liberal Show.
That's right. And tickets will be available at Ticketmaster on Saturday.
Speaking of things that spread like rashes. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
It's my house husband, everybody.
You know you're going to Syracuse. You know what those people are called?
Syracusians?
They're called the Orange Men.
Yes.
It's all John Boehner.
It's John Boehner country.
You're going to Boehner country. It's
everybody's orange.
These are the good Orange Men.
That's right.
These are the people you want to meet and spend time with. That's very exciting. This Sexy Liberal Tour is...
It's exploding.
It is amazing.
As my house husband, you know this. I'm getting different email every 2 minutes going, can you go here on this date? Can you go here? As you know, I don't leave my house.
People are outside holding up signs, come to our town!
Well, yeah, the Sexy Liberal page at Facebook and the Sexy Liberal Twitter are just blowing up with requests.
This is going to kill me.
But it looks like we're going to have shows in the north, in the east, in the west, and all of those will be announced very soon.
Yes.
And no south?
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's news.
Yeah.
Northeast, west, south,
we're working
that's
on the
news.
South. We're working on the south.
All right. As I've mentioned, David Bender, the smartest political strategist, writer slash pundit slash in the history of anything ever.
Yeah.
Except when making drug recommendations. I've been sick, as you know, all week, and I haven't slept all week, which has only made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what do you got in your medicine cabinet there? And here's one thing I can tell you right now.
Computer says no.
No Xanax for Mama. That's what's going to happen today is my brain is... Because I was so desperate, I was like, well, yes, I guess I have something in there from whatever. And no.
No?
I didn't sleep still all night, and now my brain is a giant... It's a Nerf brain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, we can play a little basketball with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
but not like Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant. How about Kobe Bryant? Did you see what happened?
Yes, we talked about this
yesterday. I know you talked about it yesterday, but what's happened since then
he's
been fined $100,000.
Oh, that'll hurt
for
him.
Calling the referee an effing...
F-word for gay
F-word.
Man. F-word. Yes.
Yeah. How about that, Kobe? Mm. How do you like those hoops?
All right. I'll save this letter on the mysterious project that David Bender and I are working on. We'll get to that in a little bit. I wonder what I meant by that.
What?
What? Why is David Bender in my house?
We're up all night not having sex.
He's certainly not a good pharmacist, but he's there. He's spectacular at other things.
The dogs love me.
Oh, he and Fred, it's really, serious.
It is actually pretty serious.
It is unholy.
But it's really sweet. He's beautiful.
Well, I don't know if he's no Dexter Von Frisch, but, you know.
Aha!
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Oh, I'm on. I'm sorry, I was just doing my taxes. You know, it's tax season.
Tax day's tomorrow, isn't it?
Since I'm a billionaire, I did pretty good this year.
You're doing pretty well. Dexter Von Frisch is eating well these days.
He is. Filet mignon all the way. Thank you, John Boehner.
Yes, or, billionaires everywhere are doing well.
Yeah.
I never call Anthony Weiner, so I guess I just have to call him Boner.
Yes, exactly.
But I wanted to tell you and David Bender that you have a beautiful marriage in the 1950s.
Thank you. It's like magic.
Yes.
David, people want to know, what did I cook for you last night?
The most incredible Italian sausage pasta.
Yes.
It was unbelievable. Those of you following on Ustream, and Chris can tell you how to do that.
Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. You can see the pasta. It's here. There it is. There it is. Mm-hmm. And just like June Cleaver and Ward Cleaver, that would be the two of us.
Yes.
Which, by the way, makes Hal Sparks Eddie Haskell.
Yes.
Well, you know, I thought you were going to, when you said just like June and Ward Cleaver, I thought you said you were going to say we slept in separate beds.
Yeah. Well, we did.
You know, Carl, you have to come over and find out for yourself.
Oh,
due diligence. That's what I recommend.
All right. I may be in a Dacol haze any second now, but I'll soldier on. Well, so Carl Frisch, David Bender and I, my husband, we loved the speech last night. What did you think? Not last night, yesterday.
Good. I thought it was good. I thought he did a good job of positioning the truth. Which is always something that the president can do. And I think it sent the Republicans reeling a bit.
I loved it. Paul Ryan looked like he was going to cry. Loved it.
Well, you know, he cries often.
Yes.
If there's one hair out of place.
On that Eddie Munster head.
Yeah, when the president shows definitively that this is how he gets to his number, this is how the Republicans get to their number, and this is who's back the Republican number is put on, I think it's a very compelling argument.
Yeah, I mean, I thought exactly that. Really, you know, very, very clear on the differences and the priorities. And I thought something has happened when Rachel Maddow, Ed Schultz, Paul Krugman all pretty much loved it.
But
Paul Ryan looked like he was going, well, like he went a duty in his pants.
But, Carl, they're doing John Kyle math, right? So it almost doesn't matter if the president gets these numbers right, lays it out, 33 seniors, 6,000, you know, gets to 200,000. That nobody is going to care on the Republican side because they make their numbers up.
Is John Kyle math, if one grumpy old senator needs 3 Metamucil tablets in the morning and 2 grumpy old senators need 6 Metamucil tablets in the morning, how many does the Republican caucus need?
That's exactly what it is.
Whatever the answer is not meant to be a factual statement. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, pardon me.
Ooh.
Oh, Sean Hannity. Oh.
After years of lecturing the United States and the people of the United States on the importance of bipartisanship and civility in American politics, that was the tone the president struck earlier today as he unveiled his proposal to cut the deficit. And his game plan couldn't be any more clear. He wants to scare you, the American people, into opposing the Republican budget plan that actually addresses the nation's deficit crisis.
I like it when Sean doesn't sound happy.
No, he's definitely not happy. He wants to scare you.
Yes.
All these years, the Japanese have been working on these lifelike robots, and all they had to do is turn on Fox News.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like the Republican talking points of Tron 2000.
Yeah.
The only thing that's missing is the slightly auto-tuned voice.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, the person doesn't have to try to scare you. All he does is have to lay out the facts of Paul Ryan's plan. I mean, you know, I think anybody understands it. Okay, let's see. My mom's 80. She gets a voucher, which probably won't cover the cost, and she has to go shopping around trying to figure out what to do. I mean, you know.
Well, it's as if Freddy Krueger is standing at a podium saying, "They're trying to make me scary. I don't know what the problem is."
All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
I thought it was a disgrace.
Speech.
I've rarely heard a speech by a president so shallow, so hyper-partisan, and so intellectually dishonest. Outside of the last couple of weeks of a presidential election where you're allowed to call your opponent anything short of a traitor.
Wow, it was
so
intellectually shallow.
So hyper-partisan, so like Charles Krauthammer. I mean, you know,
what a liar.
Isn't it amazing these people? Actually, it's I know you are, but what am I? They keep doing this. They do this and accuse the president of doing exactly the stuff that they're doing immediately when he's done talking.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I was going to do my Krautheimer impersonation, but it's the same as my Freddy Krueger.
It's been enough time. We won't notice.
He said, you can call your opponent anything up to traitor. I'm like, actually, last time around, you guys, you pretty much called him a traitor. So
I was just going to say, and here, I'm sorry, he just called the president hyper-partisan and intellectually shallow, and this is the guy that defended Sarah Palin during the campaign.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
The slogan that McCain and Palin used, the American presence that Americans can be proud of. Yeah, that wasn't calling Obama a traitor.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Dick Morris on O'Reilly.
I think Americans have to come to grips with the fact that a tax increase on anybody is a tax increase on everybody because it hurts the economy.
What? Wow.
Really?
I see.
You know, he's awfully articulate without toes in his mouth.
Wow. That's the thing that's getting tougher and tougher to sell, isn't it, Carl? I mean,
the thing that's getting tougher and tougher to sell are those Clinton books that he writes every 2 years.
Yeah.
But Dick Morris has never,
The book about how the presidential election was definitely going to be between Hillary and Condi? That book?
That book. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
A bestseller. So big.
Yeah. I mean, but this is the thing, you know, they accused us and the president of playing class warfare, and, you know, when Warren Buffett had it right, you know, we had a class war, my class won. I mean, you can't sell this stuff anymore. You don't want to tax the rich, because then we might have a jobless economy problem. It's like...
What the dirty little secret is that we extended the Bush tax cuts and it still didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar, and then Dexter Von Frisch in another littler sidecar next to him.
Oh, so cute.
18 minutes after the hour, as we continue Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, play my old high school dry humping song.
That's right.
Now that I have new love in my life, David Bender.
Wait, the guy you dry humped, you turned gay, right? Or was that in college?
Yes. Okay. Yes. No, my college boyfriend.
Okay.
Bender got there long before I got to him.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Carl, she has this effect.
Hang on. Carl Frisch rejoins us. Hang on, I got to figure out how to do this. Okay, I do that? Wait, how do I do the hold thing? Oh, for the love of God. Let's just do this real quick.
Okay.
Mickey in North Carolina is, he's never heard our show and he's befuddled.
Oh.
Hi, Mickey. Let's help him. Hi, Mickey.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. I'm just working today. And I never heard your show. I don't travel much with my XM radio, so that's probably why I've never heard you before.
Uh-huh.
I live in Charleston, South Carolina.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm in sales, but I'm in the import business, import-export business.
You sell cocaine?
I've been in it for about 30 years. And I didn't know. Is this show totally left-wing? Is that what I hear? Totally?
No.
Is that what it is?
No, it's really, it's kind of hard to pin down.
Okay. Yeah. And the girl that
How long have you been...
I'm not left or right. I really am not. I'm
sure. You like to listen to both sides.
Yeah.
How long have you been selling cocaine? I got you there. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Seriously, politics is awful.
It's awful. I agree sometimes. I do.
Well, I'm sure you agree all the time. You know, you're an entertainer.
Yeah.
But
we do mostly fart jokes. Just so you know.
You can appreciate a good fart joke, right?
No, I don't, actually.
Really?
I'm trying to be serious here.
Okay, sorry.
You know,
called the wrong show for
you,
that.
Listen, I think I'll hang up on you guys.
Oh, all right. Well, see, you ruined it. Everything was going fine.
No.
All right, Mickey,
no,
well, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you listening.
No, you don't have to worry about me listening.
All right,
thanks.
Okay. Everything beautiful in my life and turn it into crap.
Because
you see what you've done?
He doesn't enjoy a good fart joke, so he wasn't going to listen long anyway.
This is why I don't have a life. It's because of you. You ruin everything.
Works in the import-export
yes.
business.
Yes.
All right,
yeah.
Carl.
What? Sells cocaine. That's what...
I just was asking. It sounded a little shady. He didn't say what he sold.
When he said he was going to hang up, he said, all right, man.
All right. All right. Let's continue, right wing world. Andrew Napolitano.
Today we found out that the president claims that the debt does matter. Now, for most of President Obama's tenure, he subscribed to a bogus economic philosophy that argues that government spending spurs the economy and that the government can borrow as much money as it wants in order to carry out this absurd idea.
Is Andrew Napolitano, is Andrew Napolitano actually Governor Rendell? It's the same voice.
I believe him because he's a judge. He's a former judge.
He's a judge.
I think honestly, Andrew Napolitano is slowly being eaten by his pinstripes.
Yes.
As a 9/11 truther, he's doing his big audition for Glenn Beck's 5 p.m. slot.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Well, he's got to get a lot more conspiracy theories than that. You can't go with just one, for God's sakes. All right. O'Reilly.
I smell Bilderberg.
O'Reilly on something.
Just the spending level. Think about it. In 2000, before 9/11, we were doing well at 1.8 trillion. We didn't have to double it. We doubled it because of political reasons to pander to special interests on both sides. Gotta stop it.
Oh, dear.
He's in a state. He's trying to take over for Glenn Beck's hysteria.
Well, I want to know what it said about his inflection on his teleprompter, because we all know O'Reilly hasn't done anything unrehearsed in a long time.
Yeah, let's do it live.
Yeah. By the way, this is what's so disingenuous. It is very easily provable where this deficit came from. It's the two wars he didn't put on the books and the tax cuts for the rich. So to say everything is fine as 2000. Well, George Bush just got into office. He hadn't had time to ruin everything yet. Right.
Well, you've just decoded right wing talking points.
Yes.
Whenever a conservative says, you know, there's blame on both sides of the aisle, what they mean to say is, pay no attention to the George Bush behind the curtain.
Exactly. I mean, we were saying it's only people that have left office that can tell the truth, like Alan Simpson. It's the first thing he said when the Deficit Commission met is, you know, George Bush is the one that ran this deficit up. He was the biggest spender of all time.
Although he did make reference to Enema Man, so I'm not sure if he knows how to tell the truth.
Is that.
Carl Frisch and Dexter Von Frisch, of course, from Bullfight Strategies. Carl, a delight as always.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, there he goes. We'll see you next week. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with more Binda on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I must say,
Stephanie Miller,
pretending to have intercourse with you has given me a great deal of satisfaction.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Representative Paul Tonko coming up on the big show to discuss the president's speech. And, of course, actress and superhero Mary Lou Henner.
Superhero?
Mm-hmm. Coming up in hour number three. Oh, right. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Morning.
See, I have a thought and then a question. My thought is, you realize you and David every night could tell people you've had oral sex because you've just talked about it?
Yes, we talk. We do talk a lot.
Yes,
we do.
But the question I need advice here is, so I met this guy through an online dating service, and we were talking on the phone last night and realized that we have a tremendous amount of things in common, share very many of the same interests, attitudes. weirdly have the very same birthday. But then he started telling me how he has stopped listening to radio in the morning because it depresses him so. And I said, oh, well, I listen to Stephanie Miller. And he burst out laughing and he said, I had to pull over a couple times listening to her show because I was laughing so hard.
Oh.
Now, is this a...
It's Stephanie.
Is this a sign? Is this a message from God? That's what I need
yes.
to know.
Yes, yes, indeed. I hear the choir of angels as we're speaking. It is a sign from God. It's Stephadate. Welcome to it.
I am so grateful. Thank you very much.
All right, go forth.
And invite her to the wedding.
Go forth and, well, maybe not multiply, but...
Divide.
Maybe we could have a sexy liberal tour around the wedding so that, you know, you're there.
Hmm. What an interesting idea.
Yes.
Carol in South Carolina. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I was listening to Mickey from Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes.
Oh. And, well, you know, I, as you can tell from the accent, I hail from a land that is just a little bit east of Charleston, South Carolina.
Just a little.
But just a little. But I live here, and I love your show, and I listen to your show as often as I can, and I can't always listen to all of it. But I was just thinking, what a doofus. I mean, who listens to more than 30 seconds of your show and doesn't realize that it's completely left-wing and completely satirical, and that's why some of us love it?
Thank you very much, Carol. That's a, you know why you you know that? Because you don't sell cocaine for a living.
That's true, I don't. I stopped doing that several years ago. The INS weren't real happy with me doing that. So I figured that was probably not a good thing today.
See, they're funny, our audience. All right, God, love you, Carol. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. They have the sense of humor, you see.
Yes.
Oh, we have one, just one last, well, it's like that last ground in your coffee for Right Wing World. Here.
Millions of people's lives are being seriously hurt, in some cases destroyed, by this administration.
Oh, dear.
And by this administration's policies. We have people who want to fundamentally transform this country and turn it into a welfare state where a majority of people are depending on government for their very existence. Therefore, they will forever vote for big government. And why wouldn't they? They're never going to be paying for it. That's where we're headed.
Ugh. Oh. Okay. You know what? Now I'm sort of sorry I did that. All right. Now that concludes Right Wing World. I don't.
You know, he preceded the president's speech by saying, everything this man is going to say will be a lie.
Yes.
You know, we listened to it before the speech. He's going to lie to you. He always lies to you. And all that's happening is that Russia's listening to himself.
Yes.
Because he lies.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
We were watching together yesterday, my house husband, and and you said what I was thinking too. You're like, that's the guy I voted for.
That's the guy.
There were some lines that gave us some chills.
There were some moments, and I think we have some of them.
I think we do. Now I got to look all the way down here. Where's the one about the? Here it is. That's the one. This is the one that gave my husband and I chills. Here we go.
They want to give people like me a $200,000 tax cut that's paid for by asking 33 seniors each to pay $6,000 more in health costs. That's not right. And it's not going to happen as long as I'm president.
Yeah! Woo!
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen as long as I'm president. And you know that that Rush and Sean, they're all playing that last line, as long as he's president. Okay, we got to get him out of there.
Yeah.
That's how they're going to hear this. We're hearing it as, yes, thank God. And that's why, remember, folks, there's an election next year. That's why he has to be president.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Rush and Sean and Glenn and the rest, I heard somebody yesterday say, which really like sums it all up when you think about it, why they're so against that. They're done paying their taxes with one paycheck. They're done.
That's what they do.
Yeah. It's really, I thought the president made a really sort of understandable for the layperson as to what this plan really means, because it really is awful. Paul Krugman, isn't always.
No, not always in the happy clappy corner.
No. No, exactly. He writes the budget speech. I like the way Obama made a case for the government at the beginning. I like the way he accused Republicans of pessimism, which I think was good, too. They are. They're like the gloom and doom party of abandoning a hopeful vision of America. Good that he went after the Ryan plan, and good that he went after the cruelty of that plan. That's exactly right. Not refreshing. Cruel. Not serious. Mean. substance, much better than many of us feared. Hardly any Bull Simpson. Yay! The actual Paul Krugman hardly ever writes yay.
Yay!
He wrote yay.
He's won a Pulitzer Prize, so...
Yay!
Yay? Really?
That's something I'd write.
All right.
The actual plan, though, relies on some discretionary spending cuts this time, including defense. Good. Excuse me. It relies on letting the Bush tax cuts for the rich expire, finally, plus unspecified reductions in tax expenditures. The main thing, though, is it strengthened the role of and target for the Independent Payment Advisory Board. This can sound like hocus-pocus, but it's not. As I understand it, it would force the board to come up with ways to put Medicare on what amounts to a budget, growing no faster than the GDP plus 0.5%, and would force Congress to specifically overrule those proposed savings. That's what cost control looks like. Pardon me. Compare this with the voucher system, Paul Ryan's idea.
Yeah. Coupons. Coupons.
Yeah. Look who here, Grandma. Here's a coupon. It's like in those old S&S stamps. Good luck.
You didn't like that Medicare thing anyway. Go to the newspaper.
Let's see. Compare this with the voucher system, which you have insurance company executives rather than healthcare professionals deciding which care won't be paid for. Well, now, that's the death panel. Overall, way better than the rumors and trial balloons. I can live with this. And whatever the pundits may say, it was much, much more serious than the Ryan quote-unquote plan. He does an update. I should probably say I could live with this as an end result. If this becomes the left pole and the center is halfway between this and Ryan, then no. Better to pursue the zero option of just doing nothing and letting the Bush tax cuts as a whole expire. Anyway, world between Ryan's plan and he said a world of difference, and Obama made the moral as well as the practical case for his version. But that's what I'm always afraid of, David. Then this is what progressives, it's like, okay, now what's the negotiation? Like, you know, maybe he should have started as far to the left as Paul Ryan started to the right. But that's not who he is.
And that's the one thing that is worrisome, and that's where we've been before, is if you start with, and he included this in the speech, you know what, this may not be the final version. He actually said that. And he said, if Republicans have ideas, I'm willing to listen. They have no ideas.
Right, but it's
none.
Healthcare. People saying we should have started from single payer, and then we would have gotten to the public option. I mean, it's what happens now that makes everybody nervous.
Absolutely right. And here's what we know. We know that Paul Ryan's plan is going to pass the House of Representatives.
Here's what, if I were president, I would torch the plan, I would light it on fire, and then I would say, I propose the Eisenhower tax rates. Thank you! And then I would...
And settle for Reagan.
I'd bring my box, and there would be the rock star cheers.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Paul Ryan's
90% tax rates, and here's you. And then I would wipe my ass with Paul Ryan's plan.
Oh dear.
And then I would just slam the door.
And there it is. There's a visual, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Ryan's plan is going to pass the House, and according to Cantor, it becomes law. Yeah. It's simple. Yeah. It will pass the House, and then it's law.
Yes.
So why bother to negotiate? That's the way a bill becomes law in magic land.
It's Eric Andler's magical mystery rules for the House that no one else has ever heard of before.
We don't need a Senate. We don't need a White House. We have Eric Cantor.
No, but that's what I was saying, is that this, you know, the mainstream media treating Paul Ryan, it should be just laughed off the face of the earth. It is not a starting point. It is nothing. It is a horrible idea, abolishing Medicare and giving the top 1% even more tax cuts. I mean, it's ludicrous on its face. So the fact that, I think Paul Krugman makes a good point there. If it's the president's plan, and then Paul Ryan's plan is the other, then we have to meet somewhere. It's like, no, the president's plan is a good plan, and there's still stuff in there we don't like as progressives.
And Paul Ryan, after this speech, when you stand these two plans and these two people up side by side, Paul Ryan looks 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the good news. Finally,
He was in the front row during this. He looked like he was gonna
cry.
He did a duty in his pants.
But there's an adult in the room, and that's what when you and I were watching that, you looked at this man and you saw him articulating and thinking about, and plainly
he seem eight. He seemed actually exactly like Eddie Munster. Not, it wasn't even just the hairline, but he seemed, 8 years old, and, something horrible had just happened with Thing.
Lily!
Like, Thing had just taken his candy. Is that the Munsters? Yes,
no, that's the Addams Family.
Okay.
Well, they're on tour together.
Give
now.
Me a Munsters reference. Help me.
Grandpa.
Grandpa
hanging upside
Grandpa's
down.
Grandpa's teeth just fell in his cereal, his Fruit Loops.
There's Lily and Herman.
And there's Spot, the dragon bee, underneath the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
Who would that be in Republican world?
I have no idea.
Right, I don't know. That was a mess, those references.
That really was.
My brain's a Nerf ball.
But the Munsters and the Addams Family are out on tour, like the new kids.
Hello, Billy in Texas.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hello.
Listen, I was calling to speak to the or about the guy, your new caller that called a few minutes ago that y'all been mocking ever since.
Mick, yeah.
Been asking.
I've been mocking him ever
his
since.
His name was Rick.
I just I don't think it's right to sell cocaine. I didn't mean to mock him.
Well, how do you know he sells cocaine?
Just a feeling.
He said he was an importer exporter.
Yeah,
listen, I have more to base that on than John Kyle has to base anything on. It wasn't meant as a factual statement.
All you want to do is talk over people and make fun of them.
It wasn't meant as a factual statement. Maybe only 90% of what he does is cocaine sales.
Okay, Steph, he asked you a legitimate question. Are you not a left wing? Are you totally left wing? And you said, no, we're not. And
I think of this as a comedy show. I don't think of this as a left wing show.
You don't think of it as a left wing.
Well, you can think of me as left wing. I think the right wing has gone off the right wing cliff. This is not my.
No,
I would be considered a conservative probably back in my dad's day.
On your show, and we've talked about this before, you mock. You try to disparage them and you try to marginalize them by mocking them and making fun of them, calling them lunatics. And that's just not
true. It depends on if there are, in fact, a lunatic.
There you go. There you go.
I don't call you a lunatic. I gave you proflowers, for God's sakes.
I know you did. I appreciate it. But the point
is. But I don't call you a lunatic.
Tom Coburn is a lunatic.
Okay, guys. But the guy at Troy. Yeah. The point is, you're not interested in having a legitimate conversation.
Yeah.
What you want to do is throw out these left wing points. And
I know you are, but what am I?
There you go.
See?
Is John Kyle interested in a legitimate conversation when he makes stuff up? Is that legitimate? 90% of Planned Parenthood, he said on the floor of the Senate, 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is funding abortion. It turns out it's 3%. And he said, I was just making a point. Is that legitimate? He was on the floor of the Senate doing
lying.
That. How much fun is that?
I'm not familiar with the numbers on how much
the nonpartisan organization PolitiFact
does fund abortion.
Not with federal funds.
Yes, Billy.
Abortion.
The Hyde Amendment prohibits any federal funds from going for abortion, so they don't fund abortion. 3% of what they
now
do.
They're fighting about that in D.C. because they say we're raising our own tax dollars. So we want the Hyde Amendment. They don't want any part of that Hyde Amendment.
Okay, Billy. David's point is that Kyle admitted he lied on the Senate floor. I know you're not familiar with the numbers, but 90 is higher than 3 by quite a bit. And
no,
so
I get that.
Okay.
But thanks for the math lesson.
All right.
I get that.
You're welcome.
He has
no answer to the Kyle thing that you just said.
Just
so he's
saying.
Yeah, so move on. Nothing to see here.
All right, Billy. I still love you. I don't know why. All right, 46. Mm-hmm.
Billy got flowers and I didn't get flowers. I mean, you know.
You don't bring me flowers. You don't sing me love songs.
There it is. I do sing you love songs. Mm. Every
you hardly
night.
Talk to me when I come home at night. 47 minutes.
I did the dishes.
Singing a Neil Diamond song to him.
And I think it's going over his head.
They always do.
48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Everybody knows one.
We had a request for some Neil Diamond.
That came from me.
Because I was singing
You Don't Bring Me Flowers
to David Bender and he didn't get it.
Oh, I did. I love the Neil Diamond. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 53 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. David Bender makes me giggle like a little schoolgirl.
Oh, which means you're giggling like me, because I giggle like a little schoolgirl.
Well, as you know, we went to the GLAAD Media Awards,
there
and I
go.
Spent the entire night prying him off Viking-themed waiters. Viking drink waiters. I don't know.
They were serving rock vodka. I think
yes.
That was the sponsor.
Oh, okay.
And so they were in and they had these little helmets.
And he doesn't even drink vodka, but he did because waiters were serving them.
Polite to the waiters.
Yes.
I wanted to be polite. I'm polite. It's the way I was raised.
And he said he could never actually go to that part of the world because he would fall into a fjord.
I would.
Trying to get to a Viking waiter.
You all Viking right. over there.
Okay. You know, hey, looky here. Looky at this letter from some fine American. Sonia writes, Steph, hey, Steph, when are you going to sit down and pen a tell-all book? If Hannity, Beck, and Limbaugh can all have bestsellers, you are more than qualified to do the same. If not a book, how about a tell-all pamphlet? Why, Sonia, what a lovely idea.
What an interesting idea, Sonia.
Interesting idea, because... That's the breaking news. David Bender and I are working on a proposal for my book, finally. Because, as you know, I'm way too lazy to do one myself.
Yeah.
He's going to be my Mark Levin.
Yeah. How many books have you started and then just kind of abandoned?
It was the best of times.
And it'll be the only book ever written just completely drunk by both people.
Wow.
Yeah, the writer and the collaborator, just both of us smashed.
Two
the whole
nights
time.
Ago, you were really, really smashed.
David and I disagree.
When you called.
Come on. And it wasn't two nights ago. It was the afternoon.
Yeah, it was two afternoons ago.
Let's be clear.
We start early.
Apparently.
It's part of our collaboration.
Chris, we want to go to the GLAAD Awards.
Yeah, we're putting together
a book. You're the one who's glad.
It was Sunday morning.
Due to popular demand, we're putting together a little book proposal. We'll keep you posted on that. All right. Yeah, I don't know, David. It might just be a bunch of stuff smeared on, like, you know, wine-soaked napkins that we thought was funny.
The
and
first
then...
book ever done on napkins. Actually, I think it's a really good idea.
All right. We, of course, watched the president's speech, which startled us by coming much earlier than cocktail hour when we had thought it was going to be.
Yeah, all of the reports I saw yesterday said it was going to start at 7:30, so that's what it reported.
Here is the number one, because I know everybody wants to know what everybody thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
The number one barometer, David Bender and I both dead sober, and we loved it.
Absolutely.
So that's how you know it's good.
But we drank to celebrate.
And we're like, oh, we got to start early. This is great.
Today I'm proposing a more balanced approach to achieve $4 trillion in deficit reduction over 12 years.
By the way, here's the politics of this. I'm looking at the latest Wall Street Journal NBC News poll. A staggering 81% of Americans think it's basically a good idea to increase taxes on incomes of more than $1 million a year. How's about that?
This is my approach to reduce the deficit by $4 trillion over the next 12 years. It's an approach that achieves about $2 trillion in spending cuts across the budget. It will lower our interest payments on the debt by $1 trillion. It calls for tax reform to cut about $1 trillion in tax expenditures, spending in the tax code.
This is a serious plan. Paul Ryan's plan is a monstrosity that should just be ignored.
Again, he's an adult, and this is what you and
yep,
I were looking
he was
at.
The adult
we
in the room.
Saw the
yep.
adult in the room say, okay, look, everything has got to be on the table. But, you know, he said something aloud which was astonishing. He said, I'm commander-in-chief. I will do nothing to put this country at risk, but we've got to look at cutting defense.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it. Secretary Gates, who worked for a Republican, thinks that we can cut it. And he said it. You know, that in any other time, had Bill Clinton tried to do that, you know, they would have gone nuts.
I pictured Paul Ryan's lower lip just sticking out farther and farther as the speech went on. Grandpa Munster, help me!
The little Eddie Munster cowlick that he's got.
I'm serious. I have a serious plan. 100% so.
Jim Ward is here with his Eddie Munster impression.
No, it's Paul Ryan. He's here.
Scott in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hello, Scott.
Woo! That was an awesome speech yesterday.
Right?
I can't wait to get out there and fight for this guy. This is what I've been waiting to hear for the last 2 years.
Here we go.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, we're going to have some very exciting news about Raleigh, I think, very shortly.
Awesome.
Yes.
Can we finally call Republicans what they are? They're Republicans.
Yeah.
We can't reform health care. We can't fix the budget. We can't take care of our most needy. They're Republicans.
Yep, absolutely. Good job. Good job. He's fired up and ready to go. I almost yelled, yes, we can. I almost did. I really was. I was fired up. All right. 12 minutes after the hour. Oops, what? Huh?
What?
58. Listen,
time, it's relative.
David Bender and I are going to write this book in rehab. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Jim Ward's here. Yay! And we return with Bender as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Warren, or me, Stephanie Miller, David Bender, here all 3 hours live in studio because he's my house husband.
And you know who is not walking on sunshine today?
Who?
Paul Ryan.
I know.
Very unhappy guy today.
Jim did a delightful Eddie Munster when he was here in the speech.
I'm a serious guy. I have a serious plan. All the papers said so. You're a stupid duty head.
President called his little Munster ass out, yeah. Didn't he? The budget Munster.
Lily. Lily.
There it is.
Herman, I'm going to run for mayor of New York. What do you think?
See, I wish it was the other show with Thing, because I wish that when he just came out with his little path to prosperity, a hand just came and snatched it.
That's right.
Thank you, Thing.
And where's Lurch when we need him?
Okay. All right.
I can't get. I need to smoke it. 12 packs of Camel
Snuff. And grow about a foot.
All right, yeah. Kids. Very exciting. It's like magic. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. It's. It has exploded. It is. We will be in Madison, Wisconsin. I don't even know. I think we get an update today, but I think we're nearly sold out. So go now, BarrymoreLive.com. The Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. It's exploded. Right? You can listen. You saw me with my paper calendar.
I did.
There's wine on there. There's coffee.
There's not enough paper for the number of dates that are happening. It is. We actually had to print another calendar.
Yes. All right.
Little side note. We better hope that Obama stays healthy because they just showed Biden sleeping through the entire address.
Biden nodded out during the speech.
Oh dear, that's a big deal.
Okay.
All right. All right. Just let me do this real quick. Syracuse has been added for the Sexy Liberal Show May 14th. In Syracuse, tickets will be on sale Saturday.
Syracuse.
Yes, and we cannot make Ithaca. By the way, we can't make Ithaca on this go round. So drive on up from Ithaca.
That's ridiculous. Ithaca can make you. Ithaca can come to you. Build a mountain.
You'll get away from your frack water for a little while. Come
on.
It's a car, isn't it?
Ticketmaster.com.
Gene in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Hey, Steph. I think the honeymoon's over between you and Billy.
I know. Listen.
You and your leftist
communist. I may have to give him some Sherry's berries.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm coming to Madison from the Twin Cities just to see your show and get the antidote for Billy and all his buddies.
Aw, thank you. Thank you, honey bun. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
Well, listen, John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks in person, it's almost too much for a gal to take.
I'd share the wealth with us, would you?
What's that?
Share the wealth with the rest of us.
Yeah, it's too much. I'll try to make sure they don't cross the sexy streams, but wear a chastity belt. All right. Okay. All right. Pack it up. Pack it up. Here we go. All right. The Bender and I, because of popular demand, we let the cat out of the bag. We're working on a book proposal for Mama's book. Listeners already in the chat room have suggested titles.
They have indeed.
A day of...
Days of Wine and Mooks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a running theme here, if you're starting to see this. Mm. The other one was Thinking Outside of the Box Wine.
Yes.
Outside
the Box Wine.
Yeah.
See, that's funny.
Do you get the sense that the listeners are paying attention to the show?
Well,
I think they are.
Well, that's
some spin on Lost Weekends.
And Abandoned by Wolves, Raised by Republicans, that's just a chapter. It's not the whole book.
Yeah, but it's a great theme.
Just so you know.
Overserved and Underloved.
Can we say the title of the coming out chapter? It's funny. It's Bender's idea.
I want to hold that.
Right.
I want to save that.
You might be fined $100,000.
And I want to save it. Oh, yeah. But let's talk about that. Now that we're all here together, Kobe Bryant, who I said it an hour ago, thought he could get away with sort of mouthing this insult to a referee. Yeah.
Which was fastidious fellow.
Fellow. It was alliterative. It was a couple of Fs.
It was effing... F word for gay man.
And he said it to the referee, got a technical foul, and you know in the old days people would sort of laugh and pat him on the back. Now it's $100,000. Now had it been the N word,
That player.
Yeah. $1
million. $1 million or would have been suspended or kicked out. Yeah. So we are getting better. Thank you. The world is starting to realize
despite
you can't do
the
that.
Fact that this will, wow, David, this was a shock to you. Michelle Bachman says, I think it's homosexuality is a public health hazard. Public health hazard.
She thinks. Yeah.
She's not sure.
Well, there's already a lie right there. She thinks.
You know, she was at the family leader, an anti-gay conservative group in Iowa. They have argued that homosexuality is a public health hazard akin to secondhand smoke. It's the secondhand gay that you can get on you.
You know, I loved her old musical group, Bachman Berther Overdrive. I want them in the Hall of Fame.
And they also have they direct their members to literature about the reparative therapies.
Whatever. Did she send her husband to reparative therapy?
Excuse me, Jim?
No,
what are you implying?
I'm just implying that he buys their lovely pantsuits.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ooh. I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
All right. Tom in New York City. Our listener's funny. Just saying funny. Tom in New York City. Don't know if you've seen this yet. The Trump Palin 2012 bumper sticker. You're fired. I quit.
That's good.
That's funny. Funny. Oh, speaking of funny, Keith in Alexandria, we were just talking about this yesterday, David. Steph, we haven't heard from your old pal Sock in a while, the one who was going to give you a new glory hole or something like that.
What?
Yeah, he was the my death threat letter guy. He actually threatened to shove an AK-47 up my glory hole and send me into eternity.
See,
which I said,
you.
What kind of American uses a Russian-made
right.
rifle to shove up my ass? I mean, seriously.
He's outsourcing his assassination threats.
I don't think that... Your ass is not a glory hole.
I don't even know. I don't even think I have a glory hole.
It's the other one.
Glory hallelujah.
I bet he would be fun to talk to now that you've come out. No, I don't really think so. He didn't even include. He hated me before, but he got a jingle out of it.
Sock. That's Sock. It's nice to have a friend to help you get to heaven. A special friend who's got an AK-47. He's a retired insurance man with way too much time on his hands. And speaking of time, just look at the clock. It's time for Sock.
Yeah, Sock, give us a call. We miss ya.
This isn't the Clinton's old cap, right?
No.
No.
He's a retired insurance man
named
Sock.
Who is also the Clinton's old cap. Here's what's interesting. You know, I've been doing research now on Stephanie Miller. I'm the Stephanie Miller archivist in preparation for this book.
Meaning he's been digging through my dusty boxes.
Let's not go there.
You have more than one? Hey.
Okay, but I went back and I found...
He got to the late night box yesterday. That was not pretty.
But I got to an even earlier box where in, you did a show or did something called Coming Out of the Comedy Closet.
Yes.
Years and years and years ago.
Yes.
Who knew?
Before it even meant that.
No one got the message, as it turns out. As a matter of fact.
I also did a one-woman show called Radioactive. Get it? Something called Radioactive. Wow.
Not so funny anymore.
That's why no one's really heard of anything I've done. No, Mary Lou Henner joins us next hour, and you know she has that freaky memory, Jim. She remembers everything that's ever happened to her ever. That would be the worst affliction I could ever have. I cannot forget soon enough.
There are things
TV
your brother
shows,
did to you that
relationships.
You don't
I don't want to remember anything.
Can I say something funny? The chat room, someone is saying that on the Ustream, I'm looking a little like Jeff Goldblum this morning.
Yes.
And actually,
not in the fly, just normally.
Actually, our Jamie Lee Curtis, Lasagna commercial person, at once we were working on a movie together, she said, you look like Jeff Goldblum. And I went, okay, I'll take that just compliment. Years later, I run into him. It's at a baggage claim at 6 in the morning. I said, Jeff Goldblum, Jamie Lee Curtis said I look like you. He said, what a compliment that is to me. And I said, no, what a compliment that is to me. And we did that for about 10 minutes.
That's
and fell
weird.
Asleep.
Just because
weird
you can doesn't mean you should.
Exactly right.
It's a weird conversation.
It was a weird conversation, but I loved him.
Oh, Chris in Yankton has an idea for the book. Steph, I have an idea. You can have a collection of soaked cocktail napkins with your witty bon mots bound together with bar coasters. I think some enterprising publisher could do that. You could make it look like it's written entirely on...
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Vince in California on the Paul Ryan budget. Hello, Vince.
Good morning, Steph and Luke. This is your official casino chef of Wine Country, Sonoma County, which is 20 minutes to the left of Napa. So next time you come up here, try Sonoma.
Let me program that in my GPS while you're
talking. We make wine.
Okay.
Hey, nobody's been pointing up yet that the one thing about Paul Ryan's plan is, according to the Office of Budget and Management and the Congressional Budget Office, his plan actually adds over $1.5 billion to the deficit.
There's that.
Yeah.
It seems there's a deficit in his deficit reduction plan in that it achieves the opposite of what
details.
He should at least they just call it what it is. It's the deficit enhancement plan. It's the path to deficit increase.
They never call it what it is.
It's deficit Viagra.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The president yesterday.
To meet our fiscal challenge, we will need to make reforms. We will all need to make sacrifices. But we do not have to sacrifice the America we believe in.
Yeah, I love that whole part about this is not the America that it would be an America I don't recognize under Paul Ryan's plan, you know, and one that I don't believe in and I don't think you do either. I thought it was cheap. Oh, loved it.
In the last decade, the top 1% saw their income rise by an average of more than $250,000 each. That's who needs to pay less taxes?
I love that. Yeah. I love that part. But this is what we've been asking for, is to put this in some historical perspective. They are paying historically low taxes now.
But they're the job creators.
They're the job creators. Listening to Marsha Blackburn talking about this, you know, afterwards. Okay. And where do they find these people, these Republicans, to respond to the president?
We have a plan. Because, again, we have the smartest kids in class, our listeners. Everybody, if we get... you know, the Republicans do their usual with this budget plan. Just write job creator on your tax return and then just put a big zero.
Yes.
I owe zero.
That's brilliant. I'm a job creator, therefore I have no need to pay taxes.
Yeah, and then if they want you to be more specific, say I am ExxonMobil.
Call Beijing.
Bank of America. You owe me money. So there. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the president's speech and the budget as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's a distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Rock on.
Mm, 23 minutes after the hour. Sorry, I was a little distracted. James Inhofe just buzzed the tower.
Right? Yeah.
Buzzed by our clear channel building here.
Strafing us. I have unlimited airspace.
Wow. Just when you need
Charlie Sheen of him, actually.
Just when you think Republicans couldn't have worse judgment than Paul Ryan, Senator Inhofe lands on a runway that's closed. with a big X on it. No, there's construction equipment and construction
people
workers here.
Waving their arms.
Yes, no, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way.
It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for them.
They're going the wrong way!
All right. He said it's nothing. It's in the past now. That's what Republicans always say. Yeah. That's a matter that's in the past.
Yes.
So don't talk about that now.
Ran over a bunch of Girl Scouts and their cookies, but they're in the rearview mirror.
That's in the rearview mirror. Stop looking in there. Just move on. Okay.
Nothing to see.
Yeah, that's what everybody... When are you going to stop blaming Bush? You know, World War II's over. We haven't stopped blaming Hitler. Just saying. Okay, let's go to Myron in Minnesota. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Myron.
Good morning. How am I? I had to say how is somebody, so I had to say how am I.
Oh, good. Well, how are you? Good.
I'm fine. Thank you
good.
Very much.
Thank you for asking you.
It was a close one, Stephanie. Listening to Billy refer to the previous caller from South Carolina or something, there's a couple of things. It's just like, you have to believe as me or I'm going to cry. You know, it's like, it's such a weird dynamic. The emotional, intellectual basis for most people subscribing to the so-called conservative agenda is, you know, it's like 10 miles wide and about a quarter of an inch deep. And if anything fractures that little blip, it just drives him crazy. You know, I mean, he actually sounded like he was going to cry.
Yeah, he sounded like Paul Ryan after the president's speech. Yes. Oh, Gordon, he's the official disgruntled puppeteer of the Stephanie Miller Show.
There are a lot of those.
Yeah. Which puppeteers aren't disgruntled? Steph, I don't know why I just liked it because of the word he used. Steph, I can't get over these douche canoes who call into your show.
Douche canoes.
I've never heard that. And think they're going to stand up and advocate against your treatment of idiot conservative callers. First off, the conservative point of view gets plenty of advocation on every other network. Thank you very much. Second, deriding stupid conservatives when they walk right in and think they're going to own you in your own house is completely fair game, according to how every conservative talk show handles liberal callers. Yeah, I'm like the Cameron Diaz character in the football movie with Al Pacino, and not in my house, you don't. Not in our house, it's our... You know what I'm talking about. Third, as far as every conservative out there...
No, I don't.
What am I talking about, David? The football movie. She owns the football team, and... it's okay. Someone knows what I'm talking about.
Cameron Diaz? Is that what
yes.
Yeah.
It's a football movie.
I like baseball.
Third, as far as every conservative out there is concerned, right is in the middle, and if you're left, you're lunatic fringe. What do you say to someone like that? How about turnabout's a fair play, considering the fact that liberals are treated much worse on conservative talk shows? It's a double standard that bites hard when it comes around. How about get a clue? This is comedy. We're contractually obligated to make fun of conservatives. How about if you don't like it, turn the friggin' dial? Well, you can, but I don't want them to. Oh, and by the way, thanks for keeping those layabout mooks employed. Oh, you're welcome, Gordon. See, you could be a disgruntled former puppeteer, but no. You got this big fancy job.
Yeah.
All right. The president.
All the high-paying puppeteer jobs have gone.
On the way of the wigs.
Those who benefited most from our way of life can afford to give back a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a skosh. David, what's your prediction on, because he said it very clearly, I'm not going to do it again with the Bush tax cuts. I'm not going to.
That was a veto statement. It's not going to happen again. And he did it very calmly. He wasn't threatening, and this is something Rachel was saying last night. We're watching this, is that, you know, maybe he could have amped it up. If you read this, it looks like it's fire breathing. He was very calm.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to blow up the budget by giving, you know, $1 trillion.
Yeah, I know. I always hate that. I was just not angry enough. If I wanted someone to turn green and rip their shirt off, I would have voted for John McCain. If I wanted someone with an anger management problem, I wouldn't have voted for him.
John McCain is the Hulk.
He
As
is.
It turns out.
Well, he's more of the sulk, I think.
Yes, he is that.
Jim does the impression. You can hear the clench in his jaw, the fury, the barely contained.
Bag of ash. It's gamma rays. Gamma rays. Raining down on Arizona.
Oh, God.
Richard in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. Is Stephanie right?
What's
Hello?
I'm always right, but what's about what?
Okay. I'm upset at you because in the past you have called Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh a clown.
Mm.
Well, I am a clown.
Oh. Yes, I insulted the clown community.
You
right.
have totally insulted clowns.
I apologize, and please apologize.
Charity thing.
I understand. I apologize, and please apologize to all the other clowns in your car. To all the other 47 clowns in your Volkswagen.
You're bozophobic.
I think that guy called Randy Rose. That's a joke. I get it. Okay. Insulting the clown community. Okay.
Bozophobia, it's an awful thing. Ask Kobe Bryant.
Bob in Texas wants to offer me a paper calendar. Hi, Bob.
Hello. If you need a paper calendar, I've got an extra Jehovah Witnesses swimsuit calendar I can send you.
Thank you, Bob. See, that's the joke, is that I'm old and I use paper calendars. Okay. Representative Paul Tonko next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Ethical qualms regarding
Stephanie Miller.
It's one of the few forms of interaction with people that I don't find repellent.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, Representative Paul Tonko joins us now from the great state of New York. Hello, Representative. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. It's great to join you and your listeners.
It's so nice to talk to you. Everything
wonderful on the West Coast?
We are bathing in the afterglow of the president's speech, which we loved.
Did I. That makes two of us.
There you go. Give me your thoughts right out of the box.
Well, I think that basically we need to have a balanced approach as we go forward and deal with the deficit, the debt, and the federal budget at large. It's important for us to go well beyond just spending and then just in the domestic area with the non-security discretionary opportunities. I thought we limited so much with the Republican plan so that all the pain was concentrated, all the sacrifice was concentrated in this attack on the middle class and the working poor. And I just don't think that that's appropriate. You know, programs that affect our young people, working families, small business, our veterans, our seniors, were all being impacted severely. And as a result, it was a drop in the ocean of resolving our deficit situation when the programs were being hit with a tsunami. So it just was not the cure for that we needed.
Congressman Tonko, I loved part of your statement I'm reading that you said, I'm not playing politics. I was educated as an engineer. I have a deep appreciation for numbers and calculations.
I
also know our budget is a statement of priorities and values, not purely dollars and cents. And, you know, you call Paul Ryan's budget the road to ruin, as many of us do. So you offered a pro-Medicare amendment. But, I mean, I think, you know, in your letter, you spell out as clearly as I've seen it, the Republican road to ruin budget plan radically restructures Medicare, ending the program as we know it. We all know the details. Seniors will be given vouchers to put toward the purchase of a health insurance plan on the private market. The facts are clear. The amount the government puts toward seniors' health plans will not keep pace with the rising cost of health care, leaving seniors footing the bill.
Well, let me tell you, there's such a kickback by them. They don't want to acknowledge that they're ending Medicare, when in fact that's what it does. When you shift the risk from government to the pockets of our seniors, that's the end of Medicare. You are pushing them out into the private sector industry, into the insurance industry, and say, okay, fend for yourself. And the reason, way back in 1965, you know, it really behooves us to revisit history and not repeat bad history and maybe embrace good history. The bad history of 65 was that many of our seniors, because, you know, age may require you to have more health care services, I think that correlation is predictable. And as people age, they may have been searching for coverage with pre-existing conditions that were impacting them, or, you know, affordability might have been an issue. The industry obviously can cherry pick. You know, there are a number of things they're going to advertise. So, you know, since Medicare was instituted, the growth of private sector insurance premiums was at something like 5,000% increase.
Well, yeah, and I've heard you put it in such sort of understandable terms. You talk about, you know, we keep hearing a lot of talk about the need to make tough choices, and you say, I asked my Republican colleagues, what exactly about stripping these Americans of their health and economic security that qualifies as tough? There's nothing tough about stealing from the poor and the weak to give to the rich. Our seniors, on the other hand, know all about tough choices. Do I buy groceries or buy prescriptions? Do I pay rent or do I pay medical bills? Those are tough choices. I mean, that is a great point.
Well, thank you. And I think, you know, as you indicated, you know, we were quoted as saying that it's more than just an accounting exercise or numbers. It's our values, our principles, our priorities that we filter through this budget process. We have to make certain that, you know, that statement of our values is what governs the budgeting that we do here. And, you know, the dignity factor for those in their retirement years, the economic sense that it makes to keep people well in their retirement years saves society, because we know that oftentimes if that isn't done, people then become dependent on another model that might require public dollars.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it just makes sense, and it's dignified. Let's be value-oriented here, values-oriented.
Well, and the headline, you know, of your recent letter, you know, to your constituents, I mean, I think sums it all up. Republican budget will cost our economy 2 million jobs. Right. I mean, obviously, jobs is, you know, the number one thing, I think, on most people's minds.
Well, right. We have spent the better part of a year, about 13 months worth, produced 2 million private sector jobs grown into our economy. Now, these think tanks that have reviewed the Ryan Roadmap, as it's called, or the Republican budget in a broader sense, is that, you know, it ranges anywhere from 200 and plus thousand to 975,000. And why would we want to create that slippery slope where we spent the better part of the year creating 2 million jobs? And that's a lot of progress. I mean, it still is far shy of the 8.2 million that we lost. But, you know, we're celebrating today, the 100th day of the new Congress. And the Republican majority, Stephanie, has not brought forth one jobs bill. We have had zero bits of activity here on the floor that relate to jobs, jobs created. And the electorate spoke last November and said, it's about jobs, it's about jobs, it's about jobs, and the economy. They said, start growing the economy, stop shrinking the middle class. That was the message.
Yep.
It resonated loud and clear.
Congressman, I know you got to go to a vote real quick, but I mean, obviously the thing that, you know, resonated with so many people is the president saying, I am not going to do it again. I'm not going to extend these tax cuts for the rich.
That was welcome news. I think it should be welcome news for the nation. There has, you know, the anger I hear expressed is coming from modest, middle-income households where people are living on $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 annual income. And it depends, again, where you live, but, you know, a struggle for many, many households, regardless of what threshold that annual income might be at. They have not received relief. They have been asked to absorb more and more of the tax responsibility, of the tax liability, while they've watched the relief come for decades now for the millionaires, billionaires, corporations, and handouts, mindless handouts to oil companies when, you know, they're socking it to us at the pump.
Absolutely.
And maybe driving us into another recession. So hopefully, you know, people will know it's not whether we're going to, who's going to cut your taxes, but whose taxes are you going to cut?
That's right.
You know, that's the secret here. And we're asking that people be that clever in their analysis. And if we ever needed thoughtfulness and academics in our budget negotiations and with the electorate, with the public, it is now. It is
that's
a
right.
tipping point in our history. People have to be engaged in this because
that's
otherwise
right.
it'd be the snuffing out of the middle class.
Congressman, they're waving at me wildly that you must go vote about,
I don't know,
preventing worldwide economic catastrophe or something less important than this. But all right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again
so
soon.
I look forward to it.
You too.
It's the best to you and your listeners.
Thank you, sir. There he goes, Representative Paul Tomko. His district just east of Syracuse, where the Sexy Liberal Show will be coming May 14th.
No way.
Go to Ticketmaster.com. Tickets will be on sale Saturday. Oh, boy. It's so exciting. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Michael in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. I respect Obama, especially as a he's great at giving speeches. He's great, awesome at parsing words. Not once did he say he would not cut Medicare or entitlements. Not once. And I believe that's what he's going to do. You're talking about a right-of-center president now. And this guy has moved so far to the right.
I see.
Well, at least the Republicans have said that they will cut Medicare and Medicaid. So we're happy about that. They're being honest, right?
He's going to allow it.
No, he's not.
How do you know that?
No, he's not.
Because look at his speeches and look at all the times he's parsed his words. He did the same thing this time. Well, and I don't trust him. He's going to cut Medicare. He's going to cut entitlements.
But you don't want him to do that, right? You don't want him to do that, do you?
No, I don't want
him to do that. Okay, then support him because he's not going to do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I bet you he is.
Well, okay, but the problem, like the congressman just said, then get in the game. Get behind him. Like, don't just complain about what he's going to do. Get behind him, you know? I mean, make sure that he gets more Democrats in and gets reelected.
The Republicans have said they're going to do it. The Republicans are going to do it. He's not.
I want him to do. And he hasn't been doing it for most of his presidency. He's been acting so much like a Republican. He's further right than Chris.
Ad hominem.
Chris got thrown under the bus there.
Wait a minute.
By the way, stop calling David Bender names in the chat room. Don't make me come in there. Everybody's fined $100,000.
I will say that Barack Obama is the best Republican president we've had since Bill Clinton.
Jim Louise Ward. David, you know me. I have happy, clappy liberal.
Yeah.
I don't. He has gotten almost everything done that he talked about doing when he ran. And I don't get it. I don't get the whining.
And let's just let people's imagination wander for a little bit. Do you want to go back to 2006, 2007? Are we missing George Bush? Don't we wish we had those good old days again? I mean, this is why these callers make me crazy. Apparently, Medicare and Medicaid are going to be savaged by a Democratic president who said he will not allow any cuts, but they don't believe him. Meanwhile, Paul Ryan says we're making it a coupon system for grandma, and that's
no,
okay.
I think what makes me crazy is that he gets blamed for, first of all, he never had a Democratic majority. You can't compare him to LBJ or go back in history. You know, I mean, those were real majorities. Joe Lieberman is not a majority. It was those conservative Dems that stopped us from getting a public option. It's just, and to blame the president when he's been up against unprecedented obstructionism, you know, for not closing Gitmo or whatever. I mean, he has either done or tried to do everything he said he would do in the campaign.
Be careful what you wish for, America. You may get it. Donald Trump?
It'd be huge. Huge.
Okay. All right. Did we? I don't know if we did this one yet, but I don't think so. The president, yes.
There's nothing serious about a plan that claims to reduce the deficit by spending $1 trillion on tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. To meet our fiscal challenge, we will need to make reforms. We will all need to make sacrifices. But we do not have to sacrifice the America we believe in. And as long as I'm president, we won't.
Yeah, that was a little shot at Paul Ryan. There's nothing serious. Stop calling it a serious plan, blowhard pundits.
As long as I remain president. And there it is. He made it very clear. If he remains president, he can do these things.
Yeah, and the thing, one of the parts of the speech I loved, it really was how hopeful and optimistic it was in the sense of going, look at China. You know, look what they're spending on, you know, whether he's talking about renewable energy or education. And we're
Korea.
Saying in the United States of America, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to rebuild our bridges and our whatever.
We can't afford to maintain roads. I mean, I worry about my suspension every time I drive on the freeway.
And he framed it perfectly.
But, I mean, that's what one of our callers, I mean, they are the no, you can't party.
They're
no,
the
you
pessimists.
Can't. Like, no, we can't rebuild our infrastructure. No, we can't invest in renewable energy. No, we can't put. And he said, look how far ahead all the, you know, the kids are in all these other countries from our kids, and no, we can't. We got to cut Pell Grants. We can't invest more in education.
They elected a speaker
because the Holy Grail is the rich people. We can't tax. We can't make them pay their fair share.
They elected a speaker whose most famous phrase, it'll be on his headstone, is "Hell no." That's the representative.
Yeah, exactly.
They chose.
Yeah, exactly. The boner. Exactly. That's my point. It's just they literally are. What did our caller call them? The Republicans.
Hell no, you can't!
All right. 46 minutes after the... You enjoy your lack of suspension, Jim, and your crumbling bridges and roads. Enjoy.
Hell no, you can't!
You can't rebuild them. You can't do it.
Hell no, you can't!
Jeez. Oh, 47 minutes after the hour. Now you got me fired up and ready to go. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Their plan essentially lowers the government's health care bills by asking seniors and poor families to pay them instead. Our approach lowers the government's health care bills by reducing the cost of health care itself.
Nanny state.
52 minutes after the hour.
Can we get Jim Moore to say what he said when he walked in? What did you think of the president's speech last night?
I said the same thing you did. That's the guy I voted for.
Exactly.
Yay!
How about
you
that?
Made Jim say something happy clappy.
Kumbaya.
That's why I'm here.
Well, listen, because the alternative, as the president said...
I believe it paints a vision of our future that is deeply pessimistic.
Yay! Paul Ryan finally turned Jim into a happy clappy liberal. The budget monster. He's good for something.
Paul Ryan is going to do a workout book.
By the way, I love the headline. Some of the GOP squirm over Ryan plan. Yeah, go on record for that. See how wildly popular that is. They're talking about you know, new lawmakers either in formerly Democratic seats or who represent districts with large elderly populations dependent on Medicare. Hello.
Hello, Florida.
Awkward. Yeah. A significant number of Republicans realize that embracing the Ryan plan may be one of the most treacherous votes of the year. Yeah, we may want to send Paul Ryan a... you know what? I may send him everything in my arsenal, Chris. I may send him Carbonite and Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries and...
SodaStream.
What else can I send him? Not just a Christmas card.
Teddy's Pride.
What's that? Teddy's Pride.
Go to meeting.
He's already got P90X.
P90X? Oh, that's right. He does P90X.
And apparently he has really good abs.
Well, at least that's one good thing.
He's a Viking, actually.
Keep me away from him.
All right. Mark in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mark.
Good morning. Hey, the argument that the Republicans are so bad that means Obama is good is a really weak debate point. I didn't say that.
That wasn't my debate point. I'm not saying he's good compared to Republicans. I think he's good.
Right before the break, that's exactly what you guys just said. You said, do you want to go back to the old ways? And of course
we don't want
to go back.
I did say that. And because politics is a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses. So if Obama is not there, who is?
So let me make my point, which
Please.
Is that I support the president.
Great.
But I think that when it comes to a couple of key issues, he is immoral and possibly a war criminal, just like George Bush.
Oh, for the love of God, Mark. Seriously.
Listen, let me make my point. He has killed innocent people in Pakistan with missile strikes.
With drones, yes.
Guantanamo is still open, and you still have warrantless
wiretapping. Right. Could he close Guantanamo by himself, or would he have needed some Democrats to have a spy?
Executive order, he's the military commander. It's a military facility. He could go right in there and order everyone to leave and put those prisoners somewhere else.
Really? And when Congress votes for no funding to bring them anywhere and no one will take them in their district, what's the president supposed to do with them?
Well, apparently he did what he wanted in Libya without Congress, so he can do it.
That was a humanitarian crisis that he... what? Okay.
Perfect enemy of good. And that's
See,
what
here's the thing. When people call me an Obama apologist, this is going to be a wild statement. I don't think there's anything to apologize for. I think he's a really good president.
I don't agree with everything he's done, but again...
Bradley Manning.
Yeah, fair enough, but you know. if we focus on those things,
right.
we forget that...
All the good.
All the good that is going
right.
on.
In the face of... tremendous opposition.
But we're Democrats. We focus on the bad. It's our bag. It's what we do.
It's what we do best.
Our bag.
Circular
firing
squad. That's what we do. Good on us. Let's see how long we can remain out of power. How well can we do this?
God. Guadalupe in New York.
Hello, Stephanie. Good morning.
Hi.
I just don't get it. You know, this guy has tried every which way to... push his agenda. I mean, he hasn't gotten everything through, but it's right. like, well, he didn't close Guantanamo.
That's what Guadalupe, when people pretend that he had majorities like LBJ or, I don't know, FDR, whoever, it's like, it makes me crazy.
You know, it's like you could live in two worlds, a world with fact, proof, or you could live in your alternative world, like the Republicans. And to sit there and not hear what he said yesterday about the facts. I mean, that the seniors will have to pay and health insurance is going up and they're going to think about giving you a coupon.
Well,
yeah.
Right. Yes,
a voucher, you know, right, exactly.
A voucher,
it's
which
really
going to be worth
But
jack.
Does that mean that liberals can't ever criticize Obama for anything?
No.
Because that's a voting for Republicans?
That goes with living.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, nobody's going to get along 100%. But, I mean,
right.
look at what he's accomplished.
Right. Okay.
Look how he's being attacked. I mean, the Whig attacking him for his birth certificate
yeah.
when his mother wasn't even an American citizen when she had him, so he's an anchor baby.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It gets beyond ridiculous. No, it's. I mean, it's in some cases it is love. It's like that is. I think it's a Rita Rudner line about I finally met the man I'm going to blame for the rest of my life.
There it is.
I love him.
I'm for gay marriage. Why can't they be as miserable as the rest of us? You know, sure. But Jim, it's timing. It is about timing. And the Republicans actually close ranks even when they hated what George Bush was doing. They closed ranks because they wanted to get him reelected.
Right.
And that is strategic thinking. Strategery. And there is something to be said for saying, look,
it's effective.
It works.
Yeah. That's and they coalesced around the worst disaster of presidency ever. You know, it's like there are a bunch of people holding the Titanic up. It's not so bad.
It's the Queen Mary.
It's, look.
We love this ship.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Mary Lou Henner joins us next hour as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Uh-oh, I can see out my window. I think James Inhofe is about to land as well.
Now landing at gate one, gate two, gate three, gate four, gate five. He's accelerating. Gate seven.
All right. We love us an airplane reference.
We do.
All right.
Stewardess, in case you hadn't heard, jive.
Senator James Inhofe landed his plane on a runway that was closed, full of construction equipment.
And he was warned that it was closed.
Construction workers, yes.
There was a big X saying, yes. It's closed. A guy waving.
I'm not a pilot, but that big X would tell me maybe not.
No, he knew and just didn't give a damn.
No, because he's a senator. Mm-hmm. He can do what he wants.
Don't you know who I think I am?
Oh, boy. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. You can see us, ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Bing! David Bender in live in studio with us all 3 hours. And the Sexy Liberal Show, ladies and gentlemen, exploding!
Going everywhere!
Next Saturday, April 23rd, we will be in Madison, Wisconsin, with Hal Sparks and John Fugel saying, Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal Show. Go to BarrymoreLive.com. Tickets, I think they're almost gone, and we're doing two shows, for God's sake.
And some of that's going to help the people in Wisconsin,
yes,
right?
Yes! Citizen, what is it? Oh, God. WisconsinUnited.com,
United,
correct?
Wisconsin.
UnitedWisconsin.com, pardon me, behind the recall stuff for
great.
Walker and the Republican. Yahoo. Ed Schultz did a great job last night. I was in a cold drug-induced stupor, and I saw him. He had the 14,
yes,
the Fabulous 14.
The Fabulous 14.
He did a show for Madison yesterday.
Brought them all back. He got the band back together.
In fact, he was at the Barrymore, I believe. He did a great town hall there and broadcast his show from there. So, anyway, and then May 14th is the other news today. Is that all we're announcing so far, Chris?
So far,
there's others.
More to come.
Yeah, there are more in the hopper, as they say.
Randy Hopper, he's going to be recalled.
Okay, Syracuse, May 14th. We aren't going to be able to get to Ithaca on this, so all y'alls from Ithaca, drive on up to Syracuse as well.
And apparently, Syracuse's graduation is that weekend, so parents who are headed to Syracuse for your kids' graduation, get some tickets and go to this show on Saturday night.
You know what? I believe my future husband, Jake Reiner, goes to Syracuse University.
Another
so maybe,
one?
So maybe Rob and Michelle will come on down to the Sexy Liberal Show.
Journalism, broadcast journalism, I think.
Have you seen the hilarious Funny or Die video, the remake of When Harry Met Sally?
No.
That Rob Reiner's in? Hilarious.
Yeah, and Helen Mirren's in it.
Helen Mirren's in it. Sally's dead.
Yeah.
it becomes a horror film. It's hilarious.
It takes a turn.
It's most things on Funny or Die.
Do they still have what she's having? Do they still do that?
Helen Mirren does this. She does like ordering, and he sees her with all the, exactly.
Wait, there's too much pepper on my paprika.
Exactly. All right. By the by, let's see, who is this? Oh, Tommy writes, Steph, you really need, because my right-wing caller was very befuddled with the show.
Yeah.
And didn't seem to enjoy it. Steph, you really need to get a sound drop warning. The Stephanie Miller Show is a comedy show that often winds up in the ditch. So if you don't like half-baked ideas and slide whistle, remember the Food Channel has Rachel Wedge. Half-baked ideas and slide whistle. That's us.
They're completely baked.
Mm-hmm. All right.
No, they're completely baked.
Miguel, the official interpreter of the Stephanie Miller Show, writes, Staff, my two cents on gay marriage. I feel about gay marriage the same way I feel about straight marriage. Eating rhubarb, dancing, paying to sit on one's butt to watch someone else play a sport, or hitting myself in the head with a hammer. I'll probably never understand why anyone would voluntarily do such a thing, but it's your choice, not mine. I believe the expression in your culture, don't make me, no, never mind. O in español, me importa habas. Miguel de Santa Monica, official interpreter.
Qué bueno.
Yeah, yes. Qué bueno, for
qué
sure.
Bueno.
Awesome. All right, the boner predictably assailed, did he cry? The boner? He assailed the president's speech, accusing him of wanting to raise the debt limit to continue to pay Washington's bills. Yeah, because that'd be good to not raise the debt limit. That'd be good. I think that would have predictably good consequences.
Well, you know, we talked about this the other night, and this is this game of chicken that they're playing. And in fact, I think the president's carny even referred to that is if you I'm going to be calling him the president's carny for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But if they keep playing chicken, and this is what they do, we're not going to vote for it unless you add this, unless you kill Planned Parenthood.
I'm going to drive off the cliff. Watch me.
I'll do it. You know what? It is about negotiating with terrorists, and honest people can disagree, and I think, Stephanie, you and I might, but maybe sometimes you have to let them behave so badly that people wake up and go, these people are crazy.
Right, right.
And so what's going
to
happen
I think it's probably best that the president does not listen to my advice.
Well,
because now that Dr. Laura's left, I'm the person on the radio that gives really bad advice. That's my shtick.
But thank God
because
she's
I
gone.
Think, see, this is what I always think, is he should play Shaft when he comes out with these speeches. He should have just, like, lit Paul Ryan's plan on fire. And then, you know.
You go.
Let out a big one and then, like, wiped his ass with it. And then said, we're going to the Eisenhower attack rates. And then he would just say, go ahead. Don't raise the debt limit. Slam.
Will he have shades on when he does that?
Yeah, and he would be wearing shades.
And a fro.
And a big fro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the press conference I want to attend. That's the one I'm going to.
That'll hide the brain surgery scar.
But we're going to see this. It's going to play out because they've got to have that debt ceiling vote sometime in May. And they're going to need, here's the thing, is Boehner is going to need Democratic votes. Because his caucus isn't going to vote for the debt ceiling limit. Some of them will, some of them won't. Yeah. So he's going to need Democrats.
Boehner said Republicans have set the bar with the budget plan that addresses Medicare.
Addresses.
Medicaid. No, that's like that's like a limbo. How low can you go? Bar. Like seriously.
How low?
And he didn't hear a plan to match it from the president. No, that's because your plan is
to destroy.
Awful. It's because, we're not trying to match it. We're trying to say we're doing the opposite because that's seriously awful.
Your plan addresses Social Security the way Sarah Palin addresses a moose.
Wow. or a wolf out of a helicopter.
Yeah, right.
Jim Ward
so
makes
cool.
me laugh.
So cool.
Yogi.
She shot me, Yogi.
Hey, boo-boo. Okay, that is multiple personalities right there. That's
tribal of it years ago.
But there is a well-known skit from the Stephanie Miller Show whereby Sarah Palin shot
Boo-Boo and Yogi mauls Sarah Palin.
Yes, and Boo-Boo became very cold. And it was very sad.
So cool.
Oh, it's sad.
Okay, the boner.
I think Paul Ryan has set the bar in terms of the kind of targets that we need to meet and the kind of serious effort that is required given the debts that we have.
A serious effort.
Serious. Everyone on TV said it was serious.
I mean,
why
would you do it serious effort to get hammered.
And Paul Ryan has set the bar. And, Steph, we were watching this on Meet the Press. They asked him. He had 13 co-sponsors previously. He's got 24 now. So the bar is a limbo bar. I mean, there's nobody who wants to jump on that sinking ship with him.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the only thing that vaguely approached a real question from Damon Gregory is, you don't have that many sponsors. and the budget monster's like, I got more than I used to have.
So, yeah.
So? Grandpa signed it. Grandpa Munster signed it. I got a couple more. Robert in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Stephanie. How is everybody this morning?
Good.
We are so good. I'm so glad when David Bender's on. Just love him.
I do, too. We love to return. You always return to Bender. You can't help yourself.
No, I know. I had two quick points. One was homosexuality is not a health hazard. I'm the only straight man living in a gay complex in Palm Springs, and hello, still have heterosexual sex.
Really? That you haven't the secondhand gay will get you eventually. It's like secondhand smoke.
I don't think so. And the other
The Entity, my favorite movie. It's invisible. It's invisible. It's like radiation.
The other point I had quickly for you is a book title, a suggested book title.
Yes.
Yes, we're listening.
We're
writing.
And it'll work for the audio tape version, especially. You should call it The Sound and the Blurry.
The Blurry.
I like it.
Right,
we have a winner.
That's great.
Zavid Bender and I are working on a book proposal for Mama.
Why is it that the straight men...
Wait a minute. What do we have? Thinking Outside the Box One.
Thinking Outside of
Days
the Box
Days of Wine and Mooks.
Mooks. There was one that we haven't discussed yet. Unicorns That Fart Glitter. That just came in. That may just go out. But I want you to know we're paying attention. And the sound and the blurry, that's great.
That's great. Yes.
We love that.
We like that. Okay.
Chris from Yankton notices that the Boner's metaphors all involve bars.
We're going to set the bar higher.
You know why?
I set the tavern because that makes me cry.
Because you know, Jim, if he said tavern, that's what makes him cry. He has to say bar.
Well, this is a guy who's never passed a bar.
Never
going to happen.
I think the president heard us loud and clear.
Yeah.
If we're going to resolve our differences and do something meaningful, raising taxes will not be part of that.
Uh-huh. Right. Really? He did hear you loud and clear? Because that was the one thing you mentioned, is I will not let these Bush tax cuts continue. I guess the president didn't. I guess you're like a who in Whoville, Boner. He did not hear you. All right.
Boner hears a who?
Here's
a what?
Here's the budget monster.
Heard of who?
The budget monster.
What we heard today was not fiscal leadership from our commander-in-chief. What we heard today was a political broadside from our campaigner-in-chief.
Campaigner-in-chief. Ha,
I guess
gotcha.
It's no coincidence that last week when the president launched his billion-dollar re-election campaign was the week we launched our effort to try and get this debt and deficit under control and get our economy growing.
Yeah. So there. Your stinky poo-poo head.
They're throwing money around his billion-dollar re-election campaign.
He does sound like an 8-year-old.
He does, really.
Well, I only have a million gajillion gajillion election campaign. So there.
Rather than building bridges, he's poisoning wells. The president's policies are committing us and our children to a diminished future.
Yeah, he's poisoning wells and we're killing the EPA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
That's good timing.
Yeah, he's the one. Yeah, the president's the one poisoning wells.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Try to unpoison the wells once you get rid of the EPA. Gotcha. Oh, I love the budget monster. He's become a little character on the show. His little widow's peak.
He really sounds like he's 8.
He does.
18 minutes. I got to go research some episodes and see when Eddie Munster has been this upset.
That would be never.
Grandma Munster took away my creepy crawlers. 18 minutes after. I don't know.
You're an incredible edible.
You've never seen an episode of the Munsters.
I have seen the Munsters. We're going to do it right now during the break, and we're going to come back with the last time Eddie Munster was this upset. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hide the meat. Mary Lou Henner is almost here. 23 minutes after
the... Did I have cheese yesterday?
Oh, damn it. Yeah. David, you and I both did.
We're
having lamb chops tonight.
Oh, we are.
Take that, Mary Lou! 1-800-STEP-1-2.
She's going to do the show from outside the studio. She won't come anywhere near the cheese.
They're actually tofu. They're sham chops.
Ooh.
All right. I figured it out. Okay. The budget monster, Paul Ryan, Eddie Munster, has not been this upset. He was very upset by the president's speech and his budget and in calling him out.
I have a serious plan!
And since Herman had a fit and made the house shake when he forgot to feed Spot the dragon that lives under the stairs.
I'm actually watching
and
Munster's
by the way,
reruns on
there
on
was
YouTube
one
right
episode
now.
Where Eddie had a tantrum, where Eddie Munster,
yes.
Otherwise known as Paul Ryan, Eddie came home one day because he got a new nickname at school, Shorty. They were calling him Shorty. So
I heard the president say that yesterday in his speech.
About
he said,
Paul Ryan.
By the way, Shorty's planned.
Paul Ryan was shrinking
is
as
not
the president
America
was speaking.
I know, and that I think you recognize.
Let's call him Shorty from now on.
I used
Shorty
to
Ryan.
To the school with this note, Shorty.
Well, I appreciate Shorty's thoughts. You forgot to feed Spot. The dragon that lives under the stairs, you better go. Okay. Look at that. If you're on Ustream, I was doing the president's hand the way he does it when he speaks. Okay.
Well done.
Sarah, a fine American, writes, Steph, thank you for pointing out the obvious. President Obama was not given an easy time with Senate Republicans, and under the circumstances has done remarkably well. All the whiners who complain better can think about the alternatives. What would this country like would be if McCain-Palin won? There'd be no health care reform, education reform, no stimulus. Don't ask, don't tell would still be the law of land. Let's not forget the Supreme Court. Kagan and Sotomayor as Bush's, versus Bush's appointees, Roberts and Alito. Sarah.
Which does not mean you're...
Jim, you should do another It's a Blunder for Life. You could do another It's a Blunder for Life starring, John McCain, president. We'd all be living in Potterville.
Yeah.
He's a warped, frustrated old man.
But then George Bush doesn't... It doesn't really make sense, but George Bush...
I don't care. I was just trying to get you to do Mr. Potter.
What would McCain's life expectancy have been had Sarah Palin been his vice president?
Oh, God.
Wow.
Hurry up to the second that you were such an idiot.
Let's go wolf hunting for my helicopter. What could possibly go wrong? Also, too.
Oh, God.
Just asking.
Just having to listen to that voice for like a day and a half. Oh, God. He's just going to... Okay. Senator Mitch McLiplis.
Everyone at the White House meeting agreed that we need to kind of put the talking points aside and deal with what's doable.
What's doable is give me some more lettuce.
I ate the talking points. I thought they were my lettuce. Okay. Senator Tom Coburn.
His plan for changing Medicare is to increase the authority and the ability for price controls from the Individual Payment Advisory Board, which is nothing but saying we're going to ration care.
Huh? What?
Paul Ryan's plan is it's the epitome of rationing. You're going to get a coupon that's not going to keep up with the cost of health care. So it's like literally, it's like an S&S stamp.
Here you go. Here's 50.
Here, Grandma.
S&H green stamps. S&H green stamps.
S&H green stamps.
It's irrational.
It's irrational. Yeah. Exactly. It's irrational rationing. Thank you, Bender.
Yeah, SNS was Hitler's bodyguard.
Yeah.
That was
Completely different from SNS. I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't mean an SNS stamp.
You offend clowns, you offend Hitler's bodyguards. Everybody's offended.
All right, Senator Orrin Hatch.
Today, the president tried a do-over. He was going to give a really big speech. That seems to be his go-to move. And this time he was going to convince Americans that he is really, really serious about deficit reduction.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he bricked this shot as well.
Ooh, good sports analogy. He bricked it. Ooh, he threw a brick up. Woo!
You know, poor Orrin Hatch, who is about to get defeated in his own bid for renomination next year, so he's moving. If Orrin Hatch moves farther to the right, he falls off the edge of the flat Earth. I mean, that's really what happens. But, here's the thing.
There's nothing west of Utah.
I looked up a number the other day. A year ago, Harris did a poll, and apparently 24% of Republicans, literally, not figuratively, literally believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. So I tried to figure out how many millions of people that is. 55 million Republicans. That means 13 million Americans literally believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist.
Mm. I think the important question is, can you use your S&S stamps to buy jackboots?
Apparently,
all right.
Yes.
I'm just asking the question. I don't know what you can use that for. But
that's a scary thought. That's that scary right-wing world. And they all live together. And where?
Exactly.
Republicans want us to pull ourselves up by our own jack bootstraps. That's their...
Or babies by their booties.
Okay, seriously, I have to go hide the meat because Mary Lou Henner's outside.
She
isn't.
She's lurking. She can smell it.
Wait a minute.
Sausage pasta with me.
Are we hiding the salami? Is that what we're doing? Hmm?
What?
Hiding the salami.
Enough about you. What? Oh, I know. You think I don't know how to operate my own box. I know that that was coming from my box, the scary music.
You told me to turn it off.
He pointed at me like, I don't know where my own box is. Howard in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Howard.
Hi there.
love, let me see, I get this straight. Words are cheap and I love yous are free. He does a great speech and I want him to do follow through, but like that one caller said, you know, he hasn't really done what he said he was going to do.
Okay, all right, I could give you 17 examples of how he has done exactly what he said he was going to do. Yeah.
Not on everything, but, you know.
On just about
a
everything.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It was not his fault that Gitmo was not closed, is all I'm saying. I mean, yes, there are things he said, and he signed them. He did try to do it. More importantly, Robert says, the movie Stephanie was talking about with Cameron Diaz, Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday.
I can't believe she actually made an accurate movie reference. Hello. Right back with Mary Lou Henner on The Stephanie Miller Show.
An unusual experience with
Stephanie Miller
last night.
Really? How could you tell?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. David, didn't you enjoy the tofu lasagna we had yesterday and the tofu burgers we had the night before that?
I now wear tofu clothes.
And then the rabbit food that we stopped at the pet store to get that we're enjoying even more.
Which is not made of actual rabbits.
No, we petted the bunny.
It's
and moved on.
Yeah. Alfalfa and things like that, and we're enjoying it so very much.
We are.
Oh, look, it's Mary Lou Henner on the phone.
And tonight you're having sham chops.
Yes. Good morning, Mary Lou Henner.
Good morning, my darling. How are you?
I'm fine, food police. How are you?
No. But you know what? It's great that so many people are really jumping on the health bandwagon, and I can tell how much energy you guys have this morning.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry I'm not there.
My friend David Bender's been staying with me all week, and we are like a 50s couple. We basically are like meat and cocktails every night.
Every afternoon.
Well, you come from better genes than most of us. And, you know, it's okay for you, I guess.
You are, thank God, not in the studio with us. You are in San Francisco because you can see all the meat we brought with us. So, and cheese.
As long as you're not wearing a meat dress or a cheese hat. Yeah,
That must have made you crazy.
Lady Gaga, we're from Wisconsin.
Made me sick. I just kept thinking of the smell because I can sit next to people on airplanes and smell what they had for dinner the night before.
Well, listen, you have all sorts of freaky superpowers. Yeah. We were talking about how you have, okay, what's it called, hyperthymesia?
Well, they're actually changing the name of it because it's such an odd name. But it's called Highly Superior Autobiographical Memory.
Yeah, and you were on 60 Minutes.
I was on 60 Minutes. Yes. Remember, I talked about this with you guys, but I've been talking about this for years because I sort of knew I had an unusual memory, but then people never took it as seriously as they have now that 60 Minutes has been on, and now seriously, I am being treated like I can tell people's behavior toward me has changed because they know I'm going to remember everything.
Yeah, can I just say, it would be the worst affliction I could ever have. I want to forget virtually everything that's ever happened to me.
Oh, come on. Wait, then you have to get my new book, which comes out in September, and I'm going to come on the show for it as well.
What's it going to be called?
But it's called An Unforgettable Life. Listen,
I've
learned from an autobiographical memory.
I love your life stories. Just your dating life alone is just, it is just
well, thank you.
Pure
well,
entertainment.
I talk about that during my show, which is really kind of fun. I sort of take everybody on sort of this memorable musical journey through my life and stuff, you know, because I'm doing my show this weekend at the Raz Room at the Nico Hotel in San Francisco.
Yeah, and it is fabulous. She is a one-woman show. She's a walking one-woman band. But, I mean, people don't maybe know. She's... You know her as an actress, but fabulous singer, and the show is all about, and you are wildly entertaining, all your stories about your life, so it's that set to music.
Yeah, and then I show, like, videos and stuff. I have, like, taxi clips, and I have things about my kids, but I also have talk shows, so I have Johnny Carson in there, I mean, Letterman, Leno, you know, just all kinds of people, and it's really kind of fun. I enjoy doing it, and I'm excited to be doing it this weekend, 7:30, Friday and Saturday at the Raz Room. at
now,
the Mico.
I was. You talk about your next book. I've forgotten. You've written 8 books on diet and health.
I'm working on my 9th.
Right. Yeah, Total Health Makeover, I remember.
Right.
It basically explains the virtue of a non-dairy diet.
Yeah, non-dairy plant-based diet. You know, no meat, no dairy,
right.
No refined sugar, stuff like that. Gives you energy and, you know, learn to love the food that loves you. That's what I'm always saying. And nothing tastes as good as healthy feels.
Well, wine and cheese love me, and I love them. Why aren't I dead yet?
Well, you know, maybe you just... Maybe that's your superpower, that you can metabolize all the, you know, all the sludge, the bovine
fermenting.
Slime, the cow snot, and the, you know, the adrenaline rush that animals get right before they die.
Oh,
well, that's
God.
All in you, Stephanie.
You,
enjoy
you
it.
Are such a buzzkill.
Bon appetit.
No, but you know what? It's a balance. It's so funny because I do sing a song in the show about health, and it's to, you know, the song from Fiddler on the Roof tradition.
Oh, yeah.
I sing nutrition, 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 and it's really funny. My brother wrote the lyrics, and it's hilarious.
But now, so how long are you at the, it's the Raz Room
yeah,
in San Francisco?
Yeah, just 2 nights, Friday and Saturday.
This Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
All right, listen up, Green 960 listeners up there in San Francisco. You you have to experience her live. Every time you come in the studio, when you leave, Jim's like, I am exhausted.
He's
he's turned on and exhausted at the same time.
I have to come back. I have to come back very soon so that we can all, like, you know, hang out together and feed off of each other.
I know.
And I'll bring some goodies. I'll bring some goodies.
Yeah. Well,
for sure.
Your goodies are... You know, other people's gerbil food. But what are you...
No, hardly. I'm going to bring some food that you will not... You'll be like, man, this is... You know, it's so funny. I was on the View years ago with Star Jones, and, you know, she was, like, putting down my food and stuff. And now everything that she's talking about is stuff that I was talking about years ago. And I thought, you know what? Just sometimes it takes people a little longer to sort of understand what's going to be healthier for them. But, you know, the world's changing. I mean, it's really... It's good that we are. And we... My gosh, look at how much we have to protect ourselves with what's going on in Japan and stuff.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Well, no offense to Star Jones, but look how long it took her to admit that she had gastric bypass, that it wasn't all exercise. Yes.
But
you're like, well,
are you watching Celebrity Apprentice?
I have not been. Well, are you excited about President Trump?
Well, you know, let me tell you something. He is hilarious to work for because he is, I mean, he is at 6 a.m. in the morning. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. I mean, he is.
Right.
He loves what he does, and it's fun to watch him. President Trump, I don't know.
Would that be fun to watch?
Oh, my gosh.
That would be really...
The Union's going to be huge.
That would be Survivor, as reality shows go.
You sound bad. That's a good imitation of him. That's a good imitation. I don't know if he's really serious. I don't think he's really serious.
Well,
I think he's a brilliant showman. I do. And a brilliant businessman, obviously. And he's at least
except
buying
for
things. He's buying property.
Well, except for the 4 bankruptcies. But other than that...
He's very, I mean, he's very smart about what he does, and the show is a lot of fun to do. I mean, I really enjoyed it. So,
well,
you know.
Yeah, you're enthusiastic about virtually everything in life. You didn't sound that enthusiastic about President Trump, though.
I don't think he's really serious.
Well, but that's not what Mike Huckabee says. He said they just met in New York, and he said he's getting in. I think he's getting into the race. I mean, it really is.
Really?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know more than I do, of course, about that. What about, I know. I don't know.
You know,
You know what's so funny? Okay, 3 years ago I said that that all of this is like the best reality show anywhere, and I've been talking about that like crazy. And then I'm sure I'm not the only person. And then yesterday, this big revelation: the GOP race will be a great reality show. Who's doing it?
Right.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, Sarah Palin and Donald Trump literally reality show stars. We really have gotten to that point.
And Huckabee's on television. If you add it up, all the front runners
total
half the vote.
Oh, and Huckabee's been on a diet. And he's put his weight back on, so he's the Oprah of the group.
Oh, in his dreams.
It's
a very squirrel-heavy diet. So.
And Donald Trump, of course, a birther. You would think with your superior autobiographical memory, you would remember that the president was born in Kenya. You remember details about everybody.
That's right. That's right. You know what's so funny? I had the funniest thing happened the other day. People wanted me for a documentary, and I'm not going to say who it was, but it was a director, very famous director, and they said, and Mary Lou knows him, and she did this with him, and blah, 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 blah. I have never met the guy. I've never met the guy, and they wanted me on this documentary team to like give all these interviews and stuff like that. And I was coming up in people's stories, and I swear to you, I would remember. People now think that they'll have a past if maybe I was in there, and I'll remember the stories.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, but you do. You really do. You remember like exactly. You can tell anyone
well,
the day.
Do you remember when we met?
No, of course I don't. For God's, okay. I don't remember last night.
Do you remember the
night.
Circumstances? Because I can tell you the date.
We're doing
a
book. Please tell us.
What?
It's
okay.
For Stephanie's
well,
book.
Let's play a little game here. How long ago do you think it was?
Uh-oh.
About?
I don't know.
Do you remember the circumstances?
No. Oh, no.
Okay, now I'm going to prompt you.
Okay.
It was that Tom Bergeron was the host.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember. Oh, okay. I was thinking that I met you before that. No, that was the first time I met you when we did that show together.
Right.
Dinner party. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so when do you think that was? About?
I don't know. 3 years?
3 years ago. Excellent. Yeah. So now we've got it narrowed down to 2000.
Well, I only know that because my producer just held up three fingers.
Oh, he knows. Okay.
Like when I come back from the bathroom, he holds up toilet paper. Did you remember to wipe your ass? Oh!
But Mary Lou, you know what day it was? You know actually day and date?
That we shot it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that would just like pop into my head anyway. It was May 1st, 2008, and it was a Thursday.
Do you remember what was on the menu?
And it was like, I know I had like the vegan stuff. Mine was all vegan.
Yes. Wow.
And it definitely
that is...
had carrots and asparagus in it. It was beautiful.
That is freaky.
And I remember what I wore. It was like a three-toned kind of dress and a little wrap sort of thing over it.
I would remember that too.
And you are so creepy.
I was there at your studio, and
yeah, he was awesome.
Me to come on the show, and I came on the following Tuesday, the 6th. That was the first time I was on your show.
Wow.
May 6th.
See, Jim has that kind of memory, but only because you have a spectacular rack. He remembers everything you've ever worn, ever, and he's not a gay man.
The outfit I'm wearing in the show this weekend. Oh, you guys are so much fun. I have to come on in the next few months.
I know. Well, we love it when you come in studio. We kid you because we love, as you know.
Yeah, and you probably don't torture anybody else about food like you torture me, right?
No, of course not.
Good. I like being unusual.
How are your beautiful husband and sons that are Stephanie Miller fans and clearly have spectacular taste in women?
I know, and now that Nikki is driving, because he's 16, he listens to you in the morning as he's driving.
Hi, Nikki.
Yeah.
Don't make him drive off the road.
Right now. But he got into early decision in Columbia University. He's a senior, but because he's only 16, he's going to take a gap year, and he's doing something at the Getty.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you have incredibly smart. We've met them smart, cute.
Thank you. So my younger one, who's a freshman, he's got the same memory, but he doesn't want to own it yet. He's he's sometimes faster than I am.
So you can catch him on anything, because if you ask him something, he'll be like, I don't remember. You're like, yes, you do. Yes, you do remember where you were last night until when.
I know. It's so funny, because we're so used to everybody having a good memory in my family that nobody even tries to get away with anything.
Exactly.
Exactly.
By the way, at StephanieMiller.com, we have a link to Mary Lou Henner's show. She's at the Raz Room in San Francisco. Please go see her. She's fabulous.
Oh, thank you so much, hon. And I promise next time I'm in studio.
Okay.
So we can have some fun.
All right. Fabulous. All right, honey. See you soon.
Take care.
All right. There she goes. Bye-bye. Yeah, give me a heads up on that so we can bring in some fake food that we don't really eat, but it makes it look like we've read one of her books and turned over a new leaf or something.
There's some very good vegan and vegetarian food.
Yeah. Well, you know, this show writes itself. Her brother wrote a song called Nutrition from Fiddler on
the
Roof. Right. So how about If I Was a Vegan?
If I Was a Vegan.
Yada, yada, yada. I mean, come on.
My friend is a vegetarian. She came over a couple of weekends ago, and she said, I'll cook. And she dropped some things in the pan that they were sort of gray. I don't know. It's sort of meat substitute-like thing. And I was... It ended up being fine.
Not tonight. Not tonight, honey.
No. The meal was cruelty-free, except for the people who had to eat it. That was it.
Wow. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back. With the remaining moments of Return to Bender on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wow! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, Fridays with Fugelsang. He's one third of Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show, along with Hal Sparks. Come see us in Madison next Saturday. Tickets, I believe, almost gone. BarrymoreLive.com. Check it out. Get your tickets. And then also Syracuse, May 14th. Tickets on sale for that starting Saturday at Ticketmaster.com.
And more to come.
Yeah. Boy, howdy. Okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Terrence in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Terrence.
Hey, Stephanie. How
hey,
are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys are great. You know, I want to agree with you, Stephanie, because we need to keep pressing the president, but, you know, he, personally, I think he has accomplished just a ton of amazing items, and they're not as perfect as we might like them to be.
Yep.
But what do we think health reform or health insurance reform or financial reform, what would that have looked like under President McCain or President Palin?
Well, Potterville. We'd be in Potterville.
But that's not the point of criticizing the president. The people who criticize him for not moving far enough, you seem to want to imply that we want John McCain instead.
No.
I mean, that's not
No, he is saying we are worlds better than where we have been on so many issues, right, on so many of the things he's gotten done, Terrence, right?
Exactly, and I agree that we should press him. The harder we press him, then the more, you know, to our side of things, hopefully he will find his way. But also, what do you think about once we reelect him, or he gets reelected in 2012, do you think he can go, like, full-on FDR?
Oh, I hope he goes, I hope he goes hog wild. I hope he goes socialist bat crazy.
It'd be nice if we get majorities in both the House and the Senate, too.
He's like, now I'll show you what a socialist looks like, mother.
Wow.
It's a fantasy for me. That's
it
all I'm saying.
It's like the Shaft fantasy.
My fantasy is about, I wish he had held up Paul Ryan's budget yesterday and said, I wish he had said.
Disappointed!
Yeah.
These are not bad fantasies. And Jim, we're with you 100%. We can criticize, but we can do it lovingly. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Here are the fun facts about what the president laid out last night. Laid out a broad framework to reduce the federal budget gap by $4 trillion over the next 12 years. Called it a balanced approach, a mix of spending cuts and tax increases. I'm the reg for a change. blah, blah, blah. he derided Ryan's approach as less about reducing the deficit than it is about changing the basic social compact in America. Well said. So it includes an end to the Bush tax cuts. Hello!
Hallelujah.
For the 2% of Americans making $250,000 or more, tax reform aimed at closing loopholes, thank you, that favor the rich. Allowing for an overall lowering of tax rates, as Mick recommended. That was on in Bowles Simpson, actually. Cuts of $770 billion to non-discretionary by 2023 to non-security discretionary spending. Cuts of $400 billion to security spending, that is defense. Hello!
Defense! Finally, something on the table.
A rejection of the...
Someone's going to paint defense.
A rejection of the Ryan budget approach to Medicare... Which
disappointed!
The approach is ending.
Coupons.
Yes, ending it. which the White House believes would unfairly shift costs to seniors and the vulnerable while undermining the programs in the long term. Cuts to other mandatory programs, a general effort to strengthen Social Security for the long haul without slashing benefits for future generations. A lot of stuff in there. A lot of stuff.
He used the word progressive, by the way.
He did
use the word progressive, and he said the responsibility is progressives who believe in these programs to make them work and defend them. He didn't say to end them or to change them. He said, let's prove that we were right, and that's exactly it. That's what he's going to do. They do work.
Speaking of loopholes, a new report shows how major corporations have influenced Congress to craft a tax code that lets them get away with making so much money and paying so little taxes. In the Artful Dodgers, public campaign juxtaposes the limited tax liability of a dozen major corporations with the company's campaign contributions. Just one, ExxonMobil, spent $5.7 million in campaign contributions, $138 million in lobbying expenditures. Its federal income tax liabilities for 2009, absolutely nothing. So that paid off for them. Not only did it pay nothing, it also received a tax rebate of $156 million. How about that? I mean, for example, and it goes down the list, every Chevron, ConocoPhillips, blah, blah, blah. If five of the nation's biggest banks paid their taxes at the full rate, we could rehire every single one of the 132,000 teachers laid off during the recession twice.
And why have no bankers gone to prison?
Yeah.
Why is
No one from Wall Street has gone to prison, except for Madoff, because he was stealing from rich people.
They're just, they flunk math. John Barrasso, the Republican of Wyoming, he was on MSNBC, asked why he's defending Paul Ryan's plan that would privatize Medicare and hobble Medicaid at a time when these corporate tax dodgers are failing to pay their fair share. Barrasso went on a lengthy rant about his belief that Medicare and Medicaid are broken and concluded by saying, we don't need any more revenue.
Yes.
What?
How? What?
I don't. Huh?
We're broke. We don't need any more revenue. What? Huh?
I don't.
And the president laid it out. You know, if you want a vision for the future that says if your bridges collapse, hey, Minneapolis, remember your bridges collapsed. If your roads don't work and you can't rebuild them, let's be a third world country. Hey, that's a Republican vision for the future.
Yeah. We've had plenty of it.
Hey, we've had plenty already. Waka, waka, waka. Mike in Santa Barbara.
Hi. Hey, you know, I'm progressive, and that really unfortunately puts me at odds with a lot of the, it's not just Obama, but a lot of the Democrats in Congress. And, you know, you guys keep saying that he's done all these things that he promised he would do. You know, from my perspective, I mean, the overall feeling I get is the only thing that he's, the only promises he's kept is the ones that I knew about when he was running that I didn't like that he was pro-nuke and he wanted to expand the war in Afghanistan. But on everything else, you know, tax cuts for the rich, he hasn't done anything about that.
Well, but okay, but let's wait. We're almost out of time, but let's wait here. Because, you know, he obviously said what he said last night, and this is exactly what I'd said when he had to. And he explained that last night. He said, I had to do this the last time in order to get tax cuts for the other 95%. Right. I am not going to do it again. I'm sorry.
And he got health
care. The guy that called earlier and said he's a war criminal just like Bush. Bush started an illegal war based on lies. It is not the same thing.
Health care for all Americans.
Thank you, David Bender.
Although people's premiums keep going up. Just saying.
All right, thank you for ending on that note, Jim. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, and, of course, David Bender, my house husband. We're going home together now.
Lamb chops.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.